If you have a Bible, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you need a Bible, raise your hands and the ushers will bring one to you. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." May God be blessed at the reading of his word.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to go ahead and dismiss the kids to kids' church so all the kids can head to the back to Mike. All right. Well, it's good to be here. As Chuck said, Daniel's in New Jersey. My name is Steve. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord together. But first, I want to just acknowledge I have some family in town. My sister and future brother-in-law are in from San Antonio, Texas. And we went yesterday and did some sightseeing, Lombard, Ghirardelli Square. Everybody in the Bay Area was at Ghirardelli Square yesterday, so pretty packed. But let's go ahead and pray to the Lord and then get started. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives, that you have created us in your image to be like you. We acknowledge that you're the creator and we're your creation. Holy Spirit, help us to fix our gaze on Jesus this morning. We thank you for your word, which you have given us, where we can know you more. And that is our prayer, Lord, to know you more, love you more, and love others more. You are indeed the name above all names. That's in your name. Amen. Well, it's interesting. When Chris was reading the passages of Scripture this morning, God clearly spoke to me. And I just want to share what it was he said to me. He told me that he clearly said, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. See, the word of God is just that, the word of God. And so that's how we can know that it's trustworthy, and we can know God through his word. And this passage of scripture we're going to be looking at this morning has a theme. And that theme is living as the new people of God. You could also say it as living as the new people of Jesus. It's the same exact thing. And the Bible says if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that the old you has died on the cross with Christ, and the new you is alive in his resurrection. And that's a promise, and that's a truth. And so that's great news for us, for those who are in Christ, that we are new people in Christ. And I want to give a little bit of background on the passage and the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter was written by the Apostle Peter. It's the same Peter, when you read the Gospels, who denied Jesus three times, and then you hear the rooster crow. And it's also the same Peter who got on the boat and walked out on the water towards Jesus. So that's who's writing here. And most likely the intended recipient of the passage and the book of Peter is Gentile Christians who were living. The easiest way to think of Gentile is non-Jew, not Jewish. So Gentile Christians who came out of a life of debauchery and sinful pleasure, a lot of baggage, and they're trying to figure out how to follow Jesus. They've heard the gospel, and they responded to the gospel and said, okay, I want to follow Jesus, who's God, but they're trying to figure it out. Can you relate to that? We can all relate to that, because we all come to Christ with baggage. But Peter's addressing them 2,000 years ago to these Christians, and today it applies to us just the same way as believers in Jesus. So what we're going to do is go through and begin. It says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. That is called a vice list. And vice lists were very common among ancient writers of the day. And a lot of ancient writers use vice lists, and you'll see it throughout other books of the Bible, like the book of James and the book of Ephesians. And when you read these vice lists, what you want to do is you don't want to just skim through it. You know, sometimes, you know, like terms of service and terms and agreements, you sign up for something and you just kind of skim through it and check off the box, sure. Well, what you want to do is slow down and read it and see what it is on the vice list. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to go through and see in Scripture what each vice looks like and see how that, and then just let the Lord minister to us and see how that vice is in our life and ask God to help us to put that away. So it begins, so put away. And the meaning behind that word put away is to put off from oneself. So it's like the easiest analogy that the Bible lends is clothing. You know, Adam and Eve were clothed. Well, when you see put away and put on in the Bible, you can think of clothing. And so example, take this jacket I'm wearing. So the Greek, the meaning behind the Greek is to put off from oneself. So if this jacket represents the vice list, what Peter's telling the Gentile Christians is to take this jacket off and discard it. So that's no longer a part of me. And as Christians, as new people of God, we are to put off these vices, is what Peter's saying. And so it's not even a part of our life. And let's go ahead and begin with the vice. The first one we have is malice. So put away malice. And we're going to go, I'm going to give a definition of each one, and then we're going to go to a passage of Scripture. So malice, the definition, it's a desire to hurt someone with words or deeds. So if we go to Matthew chapter 22, verses 16 through 18, we'll go ahead and read it. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" And that word wickedness in other translations says malice. And so what we have here is we see them being malice towards Jesus. And they're, you know, it's not a sincere question that they're asking. They're trying to test Jesus, trying to hurt him. And Peter's saying, put away that. So we can see in our own life, what is it that we need to put away when we're malice towards other? When we desire to hurt someone with our words or deeds as a new person in Jesus, that it's not how we're to live. And we're to put it away. So the next one in the vice list is deceit. Deceit is a desire to gain some advantage or preserve some position by deceiving others. It's a desire to gain some advantage or preserve some position by deceiving others. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. Let's see. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Wow. So deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. And when you think of someone who devises evil, a lot of times what would come to mind? Murderers, rapists, thieves. And here the Bible says, if you have deceit in your heart, you devise evil. And Peter's telling the Gentile Christians, you have deceit in your heart, you're devising evil. As a Christian, you need to put that away. And it's important for us to acknowledge that and ask God's help to put away deceit. Because anytime we deceive ourselves, we're devising evil towards ourselves when we believe lies and not truth. And anytime we try to deceive others to gain some advantage, preserve some position, we're deceiving others and devising evil toward others. And as new people of God, we are to put that away. Hypocrisy is the next one, the definition. Hypocrisy, a desire not to be known for what really is. This is the vice you often hear when people complain about the church, both Christians and non-Christians. There's so much hypocrisy in the church. Well, let's see what Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13 has to say. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. You see that name in there, Peter? Well, that passage is talking about the same Peter that's telling us, so put away hypocrisy. So it seems kind of odd, like, What's going on there? Peter's saying, put away hypocrisy, and then we see Peter acting hypocritically. And just the way he's acting hypocritically, he's eating with the Gentile Christians, and then Jewish Christians come along, and he, excuse me, I got to withdraw myself. And what he's saying, even if he doesn't intend it, is to be right before God, you need to live like the Jews. And that's hypocritical. And Peter's being hypocritical there. And so what we're going to do, in a little bit, I'm going to address that just to see, okay, there's a double standard there. I want to address it in a little bit. But let's go ahead and continue with the vice list. The next one on the vice list is envy. The definition of envy is a desire for some privilege or benefit that belongs to another with resentment that another has it and you don't. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 through 18. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Wow. The Son of God was handed over because of envy. It makes you look at envy differently, doesn't it? You know, there's so many ways that we can envy. You know, you can envy, you can go to work and somebody gets promoted and you don't. You can envy that. You can envy somebody else's good health. You can go on the internet, you'll be on Facebook and envy everybody else's life because it seems like they have it so good. But the reality is, the Son of God was delivered up because of envy. And we're not to take these vices, these sins, lightly, because anger of the heart can turn to murder of the body like that. And so when the Bible says put away envy, we need to take it seriously. Okay, so finally on the vice list, we have slander. The definition of slander is the desire for revenge and self-enhancement. And we're going to go to Proverbs 10:18 to see what the Bible says about slander. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it? So as Christians, as new people of God, we ask God, help me to put away slander. Help me to not have desire for revenge and self-enhancement, because that's not how you call me to live. So that concludes the vice list. So we've just seen from Scripture the effects of each of these sins, how much damage these sins can do. And we can all be, you know, have been the recipients of these sins, and we've all done these. And Peter's telling the Christians, you're a new person. Put this away from you. Do not live like this. Live and follow the Lord. And now he's going to transition into what the people of God should do. So we've seen, you know, put away these sins. And now he says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. And so when he says like newborn infants, Peter here is not talking about spiritual maturity. Like you become a Christian, and then you're a Christian infant, and then you're a Christian toddler, and then you're a Christian teenager, and you rebel, and you go crazy. What he's saying is this is a picture of what Christians should be like. When you see like newborn infants, he's saying you should be like that in wanting to desire the word of God like an infant desires milk. You know, we have a three-month-old son, Nathan. We don't have to tell him to want milk. It just comes instinctively. He'll get hungry, he'll cry, he'll grunt, and he just wants to eat. And that is what the Bible says we should be like, to be like infants ready to eat, just longing to eat. And so when we see like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, the meaning behind that word long is to earnestly desire. So we're to earnestly desire for the word of God. Some translations will say desire the pure milk of the word. And so we need, as Christians, to earnestly desire the word of God, to remember it, take it to heart, meditate on it, because it's how we grow in our faith. You know, my first experience with the Bible happened when I was about 14 years old. My family got me this Precious Moments powder blue Bible as a memento, and not very hip, but I remember I was about 14, right before high school, and in between my comic reading and A Call of the Wild, I think I had to read for English class, I picked up this powder blue Bible, and I started to read it, and just read different passages in Revelation, and it's real fascinating, you know, dragons and demons and angels and heaven and hell, and just really intriguing to me. And but I did set it down. I went into high school and started my high school thing and didn't read the Bible after that for a few years until right before my senior year. I remember thinking, I just had a shift of mind. I was like, you know, this is a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm, you know, nice guys finish last, and I'm going to just be a hedonist. I'm going to do what I want. And after a particular night of heavy partying, I woke up the next morning, definitely hungover, but I remember this conviction in my heart that this is not a good trajectory that I'm going on. And I felt in my heart the Lord say, "You're mine." And I knew it was Jesus because I had read about him from the Bible. And he just intercepted my life. And it was then I just realized the power of the Word of God, and it changes lives. So what I did, I knew I couldn't have a powder blue Bible. So I got in the car, and I went and got a new Bible. And it started a process of longing for the Word of God. And it was rocky going in, you know, finishing high school, going into college, and it's still rocky. But nevertheless, like newborn infants, we're to long for the pure spiritual milk for the Word of God. So one thing to note, when you see that word pure, what it means is it's not mixed with anything else. So the Word of God, the Bible, is not mixed with anything else. And the best way the analogy I could come up with, it's like you go to Safeway, right? And say you want some juice, and so you go and you're looking at the different juices on the aisles. You pick one up, you look at the ingredients, and it says high fructose corn syrup, yellow dye number 56. You know those ingredients, right? So, and then you put it down, you pick up another one, you look at the ingredients, and it says orange juice. And it's like, ah, that makes sense. Makes sense. I want some orange juice, the ingredients orange juice. And the Word of God is like that. It's not mixed. It's just the ingredient of the Bible is the Word of God. So don't go around saying the Bible's organic or anything, but you get the point, you know. It's trustworthy. So we'll go ahead and begin, continue in the passage. Peter says that by it you may grow up in the salvation. That by it you may grow up in the salvation. And by it is referring to the Word of God. So we're going to go ahead and look in verse 23, right before the passage we're in this morning. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we'll see a description of the Word of God. We have it on the screen. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. What that's saying is we are changed because of the Word of God. We are new people in God because of the Word of God. Peter knows that the flesh is weak. That's why he's saying here, so put away slander, hypocrisy, deceit, malice. Put these things away and long for the word. He's fully human, and as we saw in the passage, he acted hypocritically. So he knows, he's very aware of the flesh. And that's how we're to grow, is by the Word of God. So it's an amazing thing. Like, you know, our son's back there. He's 3 months old, and amazing thing has happened since he started drinking milk. He's gotten bigger. He's increased in size. You know, he was born about 21 inches, and now he's more inches. I don't measure him anymore, but he's bigger. And that's what happens when we take in the Word of God. We increase in size. Our heart loves more. We love God more. We'll love people more. And so it's imperative that we get into the Word of God. And so it says that by it you may grow up into salvation. So believers in Jesus want to grow up into salvation. Now, that's a very loaded term, but I'll just try to give you just an easy way to look at it. Salvation is all that Christians currently possess in Jesus Christ. Salvation is all that Christians will possess in Jesus Christ. And salvation is all that Christians will escape, with there being no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow in heaven. So that's just kind of an easy picture of salvation. So we're to grow up in the salvation. So when you flesh that out, what that looks like, it comes down to becoming who we are to be originally and becoming more like Jesus. Before the fall, before Adam and Eve fell, we were to be just like God, perfect, perfect capacity to love, perfect morality. And Ephesians 4:15 talks about growing up in the Christ. And so growing up in the salvation is growing up in the Jesus, growing to be more like Jesus towards others. And as we walk this earth, how many days we have, we'll be more like Christ. And so we look at Jesus, and he was perfect. He wasn't envious. He wasn't malice. He wasn't hypocritical. He was absolutely perfect. And so when Peter says to the Gentile Christians, put away hypocrisy, you know, he's saying, be like Jesus. Long for the word of God. Be like Jesus. And we'll be more like him by longing and knowing his word. Okay, so remember I talked about hypocrisy? So I want to go back to that topic of Peter acting hypocritically, because it's, you know, it's one of the things I love about the Bible is it's there's no talking points. It's just, here it is. It's like there's no hiding, you know. Peter, it shows him falling on his face. It shows him denying Jesus. It's just so real and raw. And because we live this world as Christians, and we fall on our face and we're hypocritical, and we see an apostle acting hypocritically, it can be encouraging. So what we're going to do is look at Peter and his hypocrisy. And so I hope this encourages you. The Bible says Peter acted hypocritically, and he did. So what we see is in Galatians where it discusses him acting hypocritically. So it seems like the double standard. But if you look at it, Galatians was written approximately 34 A.D., and the book of 1 Peter, where Peter's writing, is written 68 A.D. So what does that mean? Peter grew up. You hear the expression, you live and you learn. So Peter here, he has learned what it means to walk with Christ. I mean, he's fully human. He's an apostle, and he's seen Jesus face to face, but he's taken it day by day. And so when he tells the Gentile Christians, so put away, he's like, I've lived it. I've learned it. I've fallen on my face, but I've had to learn what it means to long for the word of God. And so that's encouraging for us, because the church is full of people all across the spectrum. We're all in different walks of life, and we're all trying to figure out what it means to follow Christ on a daily basis. So the way we act and our maturity, it's going to be all over the place. But the goal is to keep going, keep trekking on, and obeying the word of God. And by God's grace, we'll become less and less hypocritical and less envious as we go along. So I hope that encourages you. So what we're going to do now is the verse ends. It says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. You know, we long for what we personally experience. You know, if you taste a food and you go somewhere and you taste your favorite food, what happens? You get cravings. Like, man, I really want to taste that food. I really want to get it, because you've had it. You've tasted it. You know what it's like. If you've been to a certain vacation spot and then work, you know, life gets hard, and you might go, oh, I just want to go to that beach because I've been there and I know what it's like. It's so serene. And when we see, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is good, what that means is you'll long for the word if you've known the kindness of God. If you have not known the kindness of God, you're not going to long for the word. And what that means, the kindness of God, is when you realize all that God has done for you and who he is, bringing you out of a light, out of a life of darkness into his marvelous light. And that is the foundation of a life for desiring the word of God, of growing more like Jesus. You know, I've personally experienced God, and I'm not going back to my whole life. No way. It's not joyous. It's a wreck. And if you're a believer in Jesus and you've tasted and known the kindness of God, you know you want to know that more, the God of kindness more. And so I want to just encourage you all that there's no spiritual plateau with God. You know, maybe you've hit a wall, and you know you're not desiring and longing for the word. And my encouragement is to ask God for help. There's no way we can long for the word. There's no way we can put away hypocrisy and envy and malice and deceit without God's help. We can't do it on our own. And so we're to go to God just humbly and say, Lord, I want to be like Jesus, and I know what you call me to do, but I need your help. And the Lord's given us his spirit to do that, and that's really encouraging. So if you are stuck, that's my encouragement. Just know that God is not bored or stuck with you. He loves you with an everlasting love, and that's good news, that he loves his kids. He loves his kids. And so sometimes, some days you're going to have good days in the Word and you might have some uninterrupted time. Other days it's going to be chaotic. Maybe you won't get in the Word at all. Maybe you'll just read one line out of Psalm 23. But the goal is to long for the Word and to take it in and to keep eating. Because if you don't eat, you don't grow. If you don't eat, you don't live long. And spiritually, we'll die. The implications are big. I'll just share a story. A friend of mine, when I first became a believer, he invited me to his first mission trip, was active in church every Sunday, played music and taught. And one day he came to me and said, Steve, I'm done. I'm just done with Christianity. And I said, well, what's going on? And he's like, God's just disappointed me too much. You know, I've come to him and I've prayed and I'm just disappointed. And, what happened, he pushed me away. He pushed people close to him away and made a car wreck of his life. And looking back, it's just kind of confusing because it's like he was in church every Sunday and, you know, he did all these things. But then I look back and I realize, wow, he didn't get in the Word of God. He didn't talk about the Bible. And that's a recipe for spiritual disaster. And so just to know, the implications are huge. Because if you read the Word of God, if he would have gotten in the Word, he would have realized it doesn't go well for a lot of people in the Bible. Joseph, you know, sold into slavery. Job, you know, lost his family, lost everything. And let's never forget, the Son of God died on a cross. So it doesn't always go well, but God promises to always be with us and never forsake us. So what I want to do is I want to close with a story. A couple of months ago, Tana and the kids and I were at a restaurant. And we went to go sit down, and everything was all great. The kids were sleeping, or Nathan was sleeping, and Isabella was content. And so Tana and I sit down and say, oh, this is great. You know, let's get some food. And then all of a sudden it happened. The bear woke up from hibernation. And Nathan woke up and started crying, and then Isabella got fussy. And just like, oh, no, this is not fun. And so, you know, we're doing the baby dance and, you know, trying to get Nathan calm and passing him back and forth. And then eventually they calmed down. And we had apologized to a couple next to us, just saying sorry for the noise, you know. And they're like, oh, we don't mind at all. You know, it's actually a joy to us. And I was saying, that's weird. But okay, if you like the sound of crying babies. And so what happened, we ate our meal, and then the waiter came out and said, oh, you have a dessert compliments of the table here. And he pointed to the couple, and I was like, wow, they endured crying babies and bought us dessert. I like these people. So they brought out some chocolate cake, and we ate it. And then we were talking to the couple and asked them, you know, wow, thank you so much, you know, for the dessert. You didn't have to do that. And we asked, like, do you have kids? And the mother said, we lost our child, our son, 2 months ago. And I was just like, ah, oh, man. It was just Tana and I, you know, tears started coming. And just realizing, you know, when she made that comment, you know, it's a joy to us. It realized, wow, like the sound of life, the sound of crying. And it was really, really just a powerful moment. And by the way, they said they were believers in Jesus Christ. And it's really neat to talk to them. So what I got out of that story was it made me think of the Son of God, you know, dying on a cross. And it didn't end there, that he's given us something even greater than dessert. You know, that chocolate cake was really good, but he's given us his spirit. He's given us his word to help us walk this life with him. And he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He comes to us and he gives us hope. He gives us peace, and we can hang on to that. And we, as Christians, we can be like that couple. We can still, out of our trials and tribulations, give to others in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord, it's so good to know that you pursue us, that you love us with an everlasting love. God, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us have a longing for your word, a longing to know you more. God, we know that we can never overdose on your word, that we can just take in more, ingest more, and out of it grow in love and peace and kindness and grow more like you, Jesus. Help us to love you and your word more and love others more in your holy name. Amen.